More schools are analyzing their students' online lives, all in the name of safety. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Jed Kim, in for Molly Wood. As students around the country begin a new school year, for a growing number of kids, that means entering schools that will be scouring their social media posts and emails for warning signs that they may be a safety threat. Taking this security step comes at a cost to privacy, and not just for the students. Some of these platforms also monitor the activities of people who live near schools. As the technology is adopted in more schools, there have been reports of more students getting flagged incorrectly. Faisal Patel is co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice at the NYU School of Law. I asked her how the monitoring works.
So basically, it's computer programs, and they flag lists of words, it looks like, that have been identified as potentially indicating a threat. So words like shoot or shooter, gun, kill, words of that nature are identified by computer programs that scan social media posts.
Well, that raises a question. I mean, it's one thing to flag these kinds of alerts and to send it on to the police, but how seriously is law enforcement taking this?
Well, I mean, this is a relatively nascent thing. So I think probably a few hundred school districts are doing this, and we have 13,000 school districts in the United States. But I do think that police do take these things seriously. So there's one example that I've seen of a student who posted that he was going to shoot the professor for scheduling an early morning exam on Twitter. Uh-huh. It seems to me to be an obvious joke, and the kid was arrested. So things like this do happen. But it's not just about law enforcement, right? So if you get flagged to your school district and to your principal, as a student, you get flagged as somebody who's a troublemaker, who's, you know, potentially a school shooter or at risk of other kinds of violence. And that can have a lot of consequences for kids. It can lead to investigations. You know, your parents are probably brought into the mix. So, you know, even a very harmless tweet can lead to consequences.
Do we have any sense of how effective these services are at reducing violence in schools?
None at all. We have, you know, the companies that market these services will say we've identified, you know, many instances of where we've prevented harm or violence from happening. But none of those stories have ever been audited. And there's certainly no systematic research indicating that these kinds of tools are effective. In other contexts where people have tried social media monitoring in order to identify threats, they have been found to be not effective. The Department of Homeland Security, for example, ran 5 pilot projects that we know of to vet visa applicants, right? People looking to come to the United States for asylum, on fiancé visas. And their own assessment was that the social media monitoring really wasn't effective at identifying threats. So that's not the school system, but that's another context in which, you know, social media monitoring has been tested. And, you know, frankly, it's not surprising that it's really hard to figure out, you know, when somebody is joking or when somebody is serious. And social media really kind of amplifies all of that, particularly when you're talking about kids. You know, kids often talk in slang, they have pop culture references, you know, their speech is often coded in ways that adults and certainly algorithms don't understand. So, for example, in Florida, where they've deployed many of these systems, you know, Social Sentinel, which is one of the services that's one of the market leaders in this space, their algorithm identified posts about the movie Shooter. It identified, you know, posts about a basketball shooting clinic, right? Because it's looking for the word shoot. Uh-huh. You know, these are the kinds of things that mostly get flagged by these services.
Why do you think school districts have begun using these services?
Well, I think a couple of things. So one is there's obviously a huge amount of pressure on schools from students and from parents to do something about school shootings, which obviously strike at, you know, kind of our core emotions, right? We all want safety, and safety for our children is one of the main things that parents want. So there's a huge amount of pressure on schools to do this. And some of the responses that, you know, people have proposed, such as gun control, for example, are often taken taken off the table because of political realities. So schools are searching for something to do. And these social media companies come along and they're like, oh, you know, we can help you. We can identify the next school shooter. And by the way, we can also help you identify bullying and, you know, kids who are suicidal. And so it seems like a good thing to do. And the cost actually is fairly low. So that's probably tempting for schools as well. It generally works out to, you know, around $1.50 or $2 a kid per year. So there are all of these incentives that push schools towards this. I will say this, though, that not all schools have adopted this by any means. And when we've talked to school officials, you know, they have expressed a lot of concern about normalizing this kind of a system and about creating a culture of constant surveillance of kids.
Faiza Patel is co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU. The center found that monitoring tends to cluster within a few states. From the data they've been able to collect, it appears that schools in Texas, Illinois, Florida, and California have spent the most on the services. And now for some related links. EdWeek has an excellent article detailing several monitoring services and the concerns they raise. It's fascinating slash terrifying to see the evolution of one service that, over the course of just a few years, went from protecting kids from seeing obscene materials to scouring emails and sending parents weekly reports of what their kids are browsing on the web. A quote from one company's CEO, "Privacy went out the window in the last 5 years," he said. "We're a part of that, for the good of society, for protecting kids." Gallup has been tracking anxiety over school safety for decades. Concerns over sending kids to school tends to spike after school shootings. This year's numbers show parents' worry levels are similar to what they were after the Parkland and Sandy Hook shootings. Gallup says it could be a reaction to two recent mass shootings, or it could just be the new normal. On a slightly happier note, children's fears over going to school this year have dropped. The site Government Technology reports on the many safety measures being undertaken by one North Carolina school district. They include hiring the district's first full-time director of school safety, also requiring more secure entryways and locking of classroom doors while classes are in session. Apparently, that's a national trend. My favorite, though, is that the district is adopting the extended arm stop signs that jut 6 feet out from the sides of school buses. It's aimed at keeping drivers from passing stopped buses, which is illegal and a total jerk move. I'm Jed Kim, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.